Hello and welcome back to Ball is Life. DJ Radical with DJ Smooth here, where polar opposites collide. How you doing, DJ Smooth?
I'm doing great. A lot of good football this weekend, so I'm really happy about that.
A lot of good football, yeah, I agree. And Chargers had a rough one, had a rough going with the Raiders, with your Raiders.
Yeah, that was a great game.
It was. Regardless of the outcome, both teams played exceptional, but Chargers still can't find a way to hold on the ball. I don't know, got like KY or got some sort of lubricant on it because we just can't hold it.
Yeah, well, yeah, one team did play more exceptional than the other team.
Yeah.
Oakland. The Chargers put a great effort out there. They really surprised a few people. I thought it was going to be like a, not an easy win, but like a 10-point win, but it went down to the wire.
It did. I mean, we could give us the medal for participation, I guess.
Yeah. That's all you're going to get this year.
We are sitting at the bottom of the, we're on the outside looking in right now.
Is that what they call it when you're at the at the bottom of the division, the outside looking in? I didn't know that.
We'll roll with it. So what do you think the best scoring team was this game? Who's your team this week?
My team.
Or last week, I should say.
The team that I like the most?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I got to go Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, they're just on fire right now. Ever since, they came out slow in week one. They lost. They didn't really look themselves. Everyone was kind of throwing the towel in on Matt Ryan and the whole Atlanta Falcons regime
mm-hmm.
down there in Atlanta. But now, look, they went into Denver, and it was 23-16, but it seemed like a bigger deficit than what the score says. It's just Atlanta controlled the game from the get-go.
Yeah, and I mean, just from the very first play, Matt Ryan, he drops back, and he has Tevin Coleman coming right on the undercut route from a running back, dropped off to him, and he's 50 yards up the field, and immediately they're already in scoring territory.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what just happened?
Crazy.
This game just started.
Crazy. And, yeah, so I just got to give the Atlanta Falcons, they're playing good football right now. They're one of the best teams in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I would be saying that at this point of the season. Hopefully they can keep it up because they can be like a solid threat in the NFC to possibly make a deep playoff push and maybe get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I could totally see them returning to their, I guess, what once was glory. They were undefeated at home with Matt Ryan just coming in the league. They used to call him Matty Ice. I think they still do, but I haven't heard it because he hasn't been. He's been ice cold. I'll tell you that much.
He hasn't really been consistent.
He hasn't.
The Atlanta Falcons, they went into Denver, which is one of the best teams in the league, the mm-hmm. defending Super Bowl champions. And yes, I mean, Denver's QB was out. Starting quarterback was out. Trevor Siemian was out. And the rookie Paxton Lynch started for him. But Atlanta took care of business against a solid defense, who's the Denver Broncos defense, is the number one defense in the league. And they just totally dominated them at home in Denver in Mile High. So good for them. Atlanta Falcons were my team of the week. I was going to go with the Raiders, but I thought that'd be a little biased. But
but look at the schedule that the Falcons have had. So they had Tampa Bay, Oakland, New Orleans, Carolina, Denver. And now they're going to go into Seattle. They have San Diego, Green Bay, Tampa again, Philadelphia, and then their bye week.
That's tough.
That's not an easy schedule. And then after the bye week, they have Arizona, Kansas City, L.A., San Francisco, and then Carolina and New Orleans. They finish up with two division games again. So that is not an easy division, nor is that an easy schedule to have. I mean, but I guess they're just going to make the most of it, and that's what they have been showing already. So you got to give it up for them and how they've been playing.
That's tough.
The Falcons are just...
Yeah, that's a tough stretch, and like, if they could really survive that and leave that stretch of games with a winning record, they're going to be in solid position.
They will be in solid position. And then my team would have to be the Bills. I mean, I think people really need to start buying in on the Bills and LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor and what Rex Ryan is doing over there with Sammy Watkins, even though he's on the IR and they're still winning. I mean, they just beat the Rams 30-19. And they shut out the Patriots the week before. So I think that it's time that people start buying into the Bills, that they're a legitimate threat to the AFC East and at
really?
Least the wild card. I
really?
Think so.
Even with Tom Brady back now for the Patriots.
I mean, we're just going to have to see how that plays out. But the Bills' defense has been doing something pretty marvelous as well.
No, the Bills' defense is solid. But I don't really believe in that offense, to be honest. Nothing against Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy, Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods. But I really don't believe in them. I don't think they can keep this up. I mean, there's going to be a point in time where the defense is going to – I mean, the offense is going to have to score some points and keep up with the Patriots or
– Or those high-scoring offenses.
Yeah, other teams in the league. But we'll see. I mean, let's look at their schedule. They got a pretty solid schedule looking forward.
Yeah, and besides the offense, their defense needs to also step up and be consistent in and out each and every single week because their offense, like you said, isn't going to be getting it done. They're not going to be scoring 30 points every game. So, yeah, you have a good point there.
Yeah. They're 3-2 right now, second place in the AFC East behind the Patriots. And their next two games are pretty winnable games. I mean, they have San Francisco in Buffalo, and then they have to go to Miami to play the Dolphins, who's not a very good team.
Yeah, they have not been.
And I can see the Bills defense tearing up those two teams. And then they play New England on October 30th in Buffalo. So they could be 5-2 entering a game against the Patriots, possibly for first place.
I mean, the way Tom Brady came out and played, I would say, they're gonna be right up there with at the top of the AFC East. But that would be the matchup I would like to see, is them two both sitting at 5-2. I mean, that's also gonna be a dangerous spot for wild card too, wild card implications, because they don't need to win the division to make it to the playoffs.
Exactly, and the playoffs right now are. The playoff implications for both conferences, the AFC and NFC, are starting to come into effect. Games are now, I mean, every game's important, meaningful, but now for especially playoffs, for a lot of teams sitting there at 2-3, 3-2, 4-1, these are becoming games that you need to win. So your road to the playoffs is not as tough in the months of November and December.
Yeah, I mean, for the wild card, it's all about home field advantage, and it's all about, well, tiebreakers, who you guys beat, who haven't you guys beat. And those are something that are really important because two or three years ago, the Chargers needed four things to happen for them to make it into the playoffs. And one of them was that they needed a tie in an NFL regulation game, which is something that rarely happens. And all four of those things were executed, and the Chargers got into the playoffs. Grant, they lost the next game, but they still made it, and that's just something that you don't see every day. So it really holds true that every single game matters. And at this point right now, the Buffalo Bills are on the outside looking in like my Chargers.
Yeah, they're right there, right behind Baltimore. So six teams get in for each conference. Buffalo's right there, number seven. On the outside looking in, and the reason why Baltimore wins the tiebreaker is because Baltimore wins the head-to-head win percentage. So so Baltimore beat Buffalo early on in the year, so that's why Baltimore gets that sixth spot. But there's a lot of football to be played because you also got Kansas City, you got Cincinnati, the Colts, and you also got the Titans, who are kind of pretty inconsistent.
DeMarco Murray, though, has been playing exceptional, which we're going to get into later. But look at this. Oakland Raiders, number one in the AFC right now.
Yeah.
Did you look coming into this season, did you see that? Did you foresee this?
I didn't see being number one in the whole AFC, but I did see number one in the AFC West. I thought we could win the division, especially with how, like, San Diego's kind of in a rebuilding stage. I mean, they're still competitive, but they're kind of rebuilding or
missing parts. Yeah.
Yeah. Figuring things out. Kansas City's.
They've always been weirdly there, but they don't have that. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. Kansas City's weird.
Yeah. Kansas City's just that team that's like not mediocre, but like they're good, but they're like not that good. And then Denver, obviously they lost Peyton Manning to retirement.
Gave away Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler went to Houston.
Gave away Julius Thomas.
Yeah, Julius Thomas left a couple years ago and just lost a lot of pieces on defense. Even though their defense is still good, they lost Malik Jackson to Jacksonville.
Gave away Michael Ball.
Yeah, they lost the linebacker, Danny Trevathan, yeah, to Chicago, to the Bears.
They really just sold.
Yeah, so, and I saw us make, like, a lot of improvements, a lot of big-time signings, and the signings in the first 2 weeks weren't really proving the money that they got, but now the defense is kind of getting it going, and the offense is there. They're saying that the Raiders' offense is one of the most exciting offenses in the league. They're saying Derek Carr's in some MVP conversation.
Mm. Bouncing over to the NFC, what's the team that is the biggest surprise where they're at right now in the standings? For the conference.
I want to say...
for a playoff picture.
There's a lot. There's a lot that come to mind. I mean, there's like Dallas, the Eagles, but I want to go out west and say the Rams. I didn't expect the Rams to be 3-2, especially after week one when they got skunked by the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football.
That was bad.
I mean, they're right there on the outside looking in right now, and they're half a game behind Seattle. But, yeah, the Rams right there as the top teams. And they have a better record at this point than the Arizona Cardinals, and everyone's picking Arizona to be in the Super Bowl.
They're looking really nice.
Yeah. So
I really believe in Arizona.
Same.
And I think that David Johnson is, I think he's a top five running back in this league.
I didn't even hear of David Johnson before like this year. I was like, who is this man?
Even last year when he came in, it was Andre Ellington was their starter.
Yeah.
And when he got injured, and then Chris Johnson got injured, and now it's David Johnson, and everybody's like, what? Who is this guy? And then next thing you know, he is a truck. This man goes through tackles hard, and he hits holes hard.
Yeah, I was like, I saw him for like fantasy. I was like looking, and I was like, everyone's like, take David Johnson. David Johnson's a top tier running back. Blah blah blah. This then that. This and that. This and that. And I was like, who is David Johnson? So you know, I went on YouTube, the usual reliable source, looked up some like highlight tapes, and I was like, wow, this guy is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm believing in the hype, and he's proved it this year that he is here to stay as a top five running back. So that is a valid case. I want to buy into him, but I think there's five other good running backs that are better than him. So,
mm-hmm.
So but he's there. He's definitely
yeah,
right there on the outside looking in.
So for me, I would say the NFC team that I think surprised me, I kind of have – It's tough for me because there's two or three,
mm-hmm.
but I would say that the main one would be Minnesota sitting at 5-0 right now. That's the last thing that I ever anticipated.
Especially after Teddy Bridgewater and AP going out.
Yeah, I'm like, how are they still? Who would have thought McKinnon would be producing the way that he is?
Exactly.
And then their defense has just been absolutely stellar. But the other one that really is a shocker to me is Carolina. It's like, oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yes.
1-4.
1-4. And honestly, they looked bad last night.
They looked really bad.
They were missing Cam, and Cam's not even been the Cam of last year. He's just been a shell of himself. But they were still missing that shell of Cam because Derek Anderson did not know what he was doing.
And he really didn't. Honestly, he threw two or three picks, too.
Honestly, it kind of, like, even though Cam had a great season, an MVP season last year, the offense wasn't really that good last year if you really think about it. It was the defense that kind of brought that mm-hmm. team alive. And the defense, I don't know if it's missing Josh Norman, but this defense is bad. It's one of the worst defenses in the league. It's horrible. Like, what a switch around. Like,
yeah, Josh Norman actually came out the statement and said, you get what you paid for.
Wow.
And like that, he's not lying because he wanted a lot of money and they didn't give it to him. And now their defense is just getting torched. I mean, they just cut one of their cornerbacks because he just gave up 300 yards to Julio Jones a week or two ago.
That's crazy. My disappointing team so far in the NFC,
mm-hmm.
I got to say Arizona. Honestly, I think Arizona would probably, they're 2-3, which is not bad. They're still like in the middle of things, but honestly, I thought they'd be 5-0, or at least 4-1 at this point on the top of the AFC.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFC West.
They've really dropped some poor games where they, I think, should have won.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to the Rams.
The Rams and then Buffalo.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we were just praising Buffalo, but for a Cardinals team that everyone was expecting, including myself, to be a top team in the league, and everyone's saying this is the year we're going to win it. This is the year to win it. Carson Palmer, MVP, David Johnson, top-tier running back. We have wide receivers on deck with Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald.
John Brown.
The defense, they just got Chandler Jones in the offseason from the Patriots.
Patrick Peterson as a cornerback. Yeah. I mean, they have all the pieces are there.
Yeah, and they're 2-3 in third place in their own division. Behind the Rams. Who Chase Keenum is starting. And that, you know, good for the Rams.
Hats off to him.
But it's, yeah, really disappointing.
And then my other one was the Saints. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But switching over to the AFC, the team that really disappointed me besides San Diego breaking my heart is Cleveland at 0-5.
Really?
I thought that they would at least get one by now.
Mm.
I mean, really think that they would get at least one.
They had one in Miami, but the kicker missed it.
Yeah. I mean, at least they didn't trade up for a second rounder and have him miss at least 50% of his field goals this year in Aguero.
He hit the game winner last night, though.
Yeah, but he still missed two prior to it in that game.
True. I'm just saying.
True, though. He did hit the game winner.
He hit the game winner. They're 2-3. Leave him alone.
But yeah. But, yeah, San Diego. And another surprising team is Tennessee Titans. They're starting to come together. 2-3.
And they've been in some games. I mean, they were in the Raider game.
They were hanging on. The Raiders have really been sneaking by.
Really? I know. And there was an article about the Raiders saying, are the Raiders good or just, like, flat-out lucky?
I mean, either way, they're still 4-1.
Yeah,
at this point, I'm taking any win I can get.
Exactly. Because we're usually in those games, and we're on the other side of it, where we're losing, and we're 1-4, like the Chargers.
Yeah, you guys must have passed it off to us or something.
Yeah, I didn't. I must. But Tennessee is a solid team, and they could, you know, win some games. And I feel like they're going to stick around until, like, you know, the week 12, week 13, where they're, like, in the playoff picture still. I think they're going to stick around. I just feel like Mariota's got to be more consistent and get better and stop turning over the ball and just be more. I feel like he doesn't play with some confidence at times.
Yeah, it seems like he's hesitant to try and take a chance. But then he still ends up fumbling it or giving it away some other way.
Yeah, like he's rolling out of the pocket and he just throws the ball up. Like, there's no reason for that. Like, you don't have the play.
And he has the leg speed, too.
Yeah, just throw the ball away. Or if you can, like, again, you have the ability to run and, like, make defenders miss, like, do that. But if not, just throw the ball away and just get on the next play.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And, like, he's got some solid pieces around him. I mean, you got Delaney Walker, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry. And you also have
a nice offensive line, too.
Yeah, and you also have Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't play a lot. He usually plays like 20 to 25 plays a game. But in the red zone, that man is a solid option.
He's big body.
Exactly. He's caught in a couple like game winners this year.
Yeah, I don't know what. There's something with Mariota that neat. Because he came from that Oregon offense, too, which is where it's that option run where he's running the ball 50 yards a game. And now he's, I don't know. And he's still super young, so, like, he can't be age. I don't know.
No, I think sometimes he's not confident in himself, and you kind of could tell on the field that he doesn't have the confidence yet. Once I feel like Tennessee starts winning some games, he'll gain the confidence and become a better player.
Yeah, totally.
Let me see here. A team that I am disappointed in the AFC are the New York Jets. The whole thing with they got to sign Fitzpatrick. Why have they signed Fitzpatrick? This, and that. Give Fitzpatrick the money. Honestly, right now, the way he's playing, he doesn't deserve the money he even got.
I don't think he ever deserved any money. I don't believe in this guy. I don't think that he's a good athlete. I really don't. I mean, look at over the past years, look at this man's accomplishments. Maybe setting record for a 5-interception game one time.
Six.
But, I mean, yeah, 6. That's, like, it's absurd. But he has shown signs of greatness, and that's what I think the Jets want to buy into. But 100% truth, their best player on offense is Matt Forte, hands down.
Really?
Brandon Marchand's a nice piece, but you can't get the ball to him because you have Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm.
True. That is true. I don't know. I just expected a lot more. And I feel like the defense is just getting ran over by. Like, they have all those pass rushers, and they have Leonard, what is it, the guy from USC?
Washington? No.
No.
I'm blanking.
Saying, yeah, same. But they have all these pass rushers that can get to the quarterback, and they really haven't gotten to the quarterback. And they're allowing a lot of yards from the receivers. They really can't stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't know, just disappointing. I thought they'd be in the mix with, like, the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. I already knew Miami was pretty bad because they have Tannehill at the helm. I do not like Tannehill. But I was expecting a lot more from them. And also the Jacksonville Jaguars with all the acquisitions that they got this year
in
the offseason. I was expecting a lot. And all the weapons they have on the offense. But then again, like you said, they don't have a quarterback to give them the ball.
I wouldn't mind seeing Tannehill in Jacksonville.
No. I feel like I said, Jacksonville needs like a Matt Stafford. That would be a solid pickup.
I would like that.
Could you imagine
what he could do with those weapons? Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and Julius Thomas.
Yeah, and then TJ Yeldon coming out the backfield.
And Marquise Lee.
Right?
Wow. Possibilities.
Yeah, I think Matt Stafford, that would be like a really solid pickup for the Jaguars, and that'd just be a nice fit for Matthew Stafford.
If you're hearing this, Matt Stafford, it's too late.
Yeah, because you know who's the leading receiver right now in yards in the NFL? Is Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
Of
the Detroit Lions. He had that game. Julio's right up there, though, with him now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, imagine Matt Stafford with better receivers, because I feel like Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson are better than Marvin Jones.
And I could see the Jaguars again for the third year in a row going for another rookie quarterback. But they need that old quarterback that can give them that mentor and help them out. So they need, like, Michael Vick. Imagine Michael Vick in Jacksonville. Yeah. I don't know. They need somebody old who has that experience.
Yeah, they need that mentor that Blake Bortles is like.
They're too young.
I think the only piece they're missing to be like a solid team in the NFL is the QB. Because the defense, it's not great, but it's okay. It can keep the team in some games, but it just needs that quarterback that can like score points and get the ball to their like weapon.
Because it's inevitable that a team's going to score points.
Exactly.
And you need to be able to reciprocate, but.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to wrap it up for this first segment.
Yeah.
This is a Ball is Life, radio.dominican.edu, the one and only radio station at Dominican University of California. DJ Smooth with DJ Radical. We'll be right back. Thank you. Great song there. Gotta love the Beatles. But we're back here. Ball is Life. Radio.Dominican.edu. DJ Radical and DJ Smooth here. We're going to be breaking into some fantasy football now. Gotta love it. So, studs and duds.
Studs
on your fantasy football
on my team. Well, let's start studs. Derek Carr had an amazing game. I mean, he did throw an interception and was kind of slow in the first half. He had a couple touchdowns in the first half that he didn't really convert on in the red zone. But I had he was a stud. He in my dynasty league, he got me 36 points. Update on dynasty, I still lost. I'm 0-5, so it's tough, but you know, I'm just getting there. It was actually one of my better games. And guys, I should have started Chris Hogan. He was on my bench. He got a 12.5 points. He had a solid game, but I didn't start him because I thought Victor Cruz would do something. Everyone was saying, start Victor Cruz. Start Victor Cruz. Start Victor Cruz. So I started Victor Cruz. You know what Victor Cruz got? Zero. He did absolutely nothing. He
didn't
dropped
get a target.
Yeah. Look, if we look. Yeah. Did nothing. Did not. I was entering Sunday Night Football down by 6. I lost by 30 points.
Rough week. And Cam being injured didn't help you.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting Derek Carr. Cam got bent. I'm benching Cam until he proves something. And yeah. So Chris Hogan did good. Cole Beasley did good. But again, on my bench. Jalen Richard was kind of solid. Giovanni Bernard, he got the start this week.
Yeah,
out of nowhere.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, so I didn't
Bengals
start him.
Don't want to share anything with us. Yeah,
but yeah, no, I gotta go.
Back to the drawing boards.
Yeah, I gotta go. But Derek Carr was solid. Devontae Freeman, another solid outing. The Raiders defense was solid. Janikowski got me 15 points, and then in my ESPN league. Bad. In my ESPN league, Mike Evans had a solid 20 points in my PPR league. And then also Martellus Bennett. I signed him off waivers. I claimed him. Got him. And he got me at 3 TDs.
Good start.
30 points. And now I'm on a 2-game winning streak. I'm fighting getting in that back in that playoff picture in my ESPN league. So I'm pretty happy so far. My girlfriend, though, she's in the league with me. She's 5-0.
You just can't make these things up.
You really can't. It's just crazy.
Who's her star player?
Antonio Brown.
He's a good solid first rounder.
Yeah, she was third overall. Like she had the third pick in the draft. So it went like Todd Gurley and it went, I think, because Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Wow.
And she just ended up with Antonio Brown just in her lap.
Yeah, it falls. Yeah, when it falls to you like that, I mean, you gotta
she's
take
like,
it.
She's like, who's this A Brown? And I was like, just take him. Don't ask any questions. Just take him.
So for me, fantasy studs this week didn't have many. But if I had to choose, Jameis Winston would probably be my biggest one. And then besides Jameis Winston, DeMarco Murray and Mike Evans, we didn't do well. I lost in both of my leagues. But DeMarco Murray went 137 yards, didn't get to punch it in for the touchdown. But I mean, I'm gonna take what I get, and he got me 14.7 in this league, which is almost as much as my quarterback, which is not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So really rough time for me there. And then in my ESPN league, Jameis Winston again. And then I guess DeAndre Hopkins showed up for a glimpse. He got 56 yards and a touchdown. Not much, but I guess I'll take what you can get when this man's like Casper the Friendly Ghost and just appears out of the blue.
I don't get what's going on with Houston. I don't get what's going on with their defense, because their defense was a highly touted like fantasy defense that everyone was like, oh, you got to get it. They're going to be solid. And they really haven't produced. I don't get DeAndre Hopkins shows up one game, then he doesn't show up another game. And it's kind of not his fault. It's kind of on the QB and Osweiler. And then Lamar Miller, like everyone said, like Lamar Miller's a solid pickup. And he was nice in Miami last year.
Yeah, I mean, before my draft, I'm like, I'm sitting nice. I got Lamar Miller and CJ Anderson as my starting running backs. So I'm like, let's do that. And then next thing you know, this man has 2 points, This man has 2 points for me this week, and I don't know. I don't know what to do. But, I mean, that was for sure my dud is Lamar Miller. And then my dud in my Dynasty League would have to be Isaiah Crowell and Graham Gano, just my whole team. Graham Gano, Richard Rodgers, the Texans defense. It's not a good look. Isaiah Crowell was top 10 running back coming into this week, and this man gets 40 yards against the New England, who apparently wants to start playing good now that Tom Brady's back. It was rough. But, you know, we got to keep hopes high. We got next week coming up. We got some good matchups, I think.
What's your record right now?
In our league that we're in together, I'm sitting at 3-2 right now.
You're solid. I'm 0-5. I need to at least get one before the season ends because I feel like there's going to be a lot of shade thrown my way if I don't at least get one.
So looking at DJ Smoove's team in this week, who do you like in this matchup for you? Who are you looking to produce the most in? Who's going to be your highest score this week?
My highest score, I'm looking at my team right now, and I still got to go through some things. I mean, mm-hmm. Gary Barnage is questionable. Mike Wallace is questionable. But right now, honestly, it's not looking good. But I think Cole Beasley will have a solid game in the slot. I think that because of Green Bay's defense, I think Dallas is going to get the ball out quick, and Cole Beasley might be one of those options.
Mm-hmm. They do take away the perimeter, the outside wide receivers, yeah. And then they start rushing a lot. They don't really do a cover three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, my QB, Derek Carr, I think Derek Carr is going to have a solid outing against the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't put a lot of pressure on the QB. Plus, Carr has one of the top five offensive lines in the league. He has the lowest, I was reading a stat. It's like 18.2% of the time that's how much pressure Carr gets out of.
Oh, wow. So basically 18, so 2 out of every 10 snaps.
Yeah, he gets pressure.
So and those other 8 times he's just chilling, having a drink. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, he has time to throw the ball, and he's got some, weapons on the outside.
Some very talented weapons.
So, yeah, and actually last week is the most I've seen him get pressure, in the last 10 Raider games, to be honest.
Yeah, he was looking really stellar. And bringing up the defense, I really got to give it up to Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa.
They're talking about he played really well.
Two sacks. In his first game.
And he was rushing Derek Carr. But, I mean, look at this guy who you're playing. Look at this top three, Andrew Luck, Lamar Miller, and Le'Veon Bell, all projected over 20 points.
I'm hoping Lamar Miller drops another dud this week.
Le'Veon's projected for about 30. More than Andrew Luck, almost.
Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he's going to get his. Andrew Luck, I'm hoping he turns into the Andrew Luck that, there's just a lot. But I hope Andrew Luck just has a horrible game. I hope Houston defense actually shows up.
Yeah, I really need them to show up. Yeah. Houston defense needs to be there.
Oh, man, this man has Martellus Bennett. Oh, it is not looking good right now.
But I could see the Colin Kaepernick taking over against the Bills this week.
Hey,
the start. He has the green light.
Yeah, I still got to go through. I mean, I might throw in CJ Spiller in the flex.
Yeah, you have options.
I do have options. They're not looking good. Two of my top five draft picks in Doug Martin and Cam Newton are both out with injuries.
It's not a good look.
It is really not a good look, but I'm just hanging in there. I'm just having fun. Positive vibes. That's
just
all I can really think of.
Just having fun with it.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just a lot. It's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. So we'll bounce over to me.
Yeah. I just, oh, man.
So I got Winston on a bye and Mike Evans, which is not ideal. But I got But I got Tannehill against the Pittsburgh defense.
No, you need to find another QB.
Tannehill's nice. He's going to go off this week. I have faith. I really do, bro.
You know what the Dolphins fans were doing in the game?
What?
They were booing Tannehill, and they're saying, we want Matt Moore.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, who is Matt Moore? I don't even know.
The backup.
Yeah, I know that was the backup, but I was like, who is Matt Moore? I've never heard of this man before. And they're like, we want Matt Moore.
Oh my god.
He's got to show up today.
I don't know who else is there. I have to look on the free agency.
I know Cam's out, but I mean,
I know Cam's on the trading block. That's where I know he is. But I'm playing HaHa Clint Dix, which is a player for the Packers defender, and it's my good buddy back home. And we were talking about him, and he has the three-headed monster at the wide receiver core with Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, and Demaryius Thomas.
That's tough.
It's dangerous.
That is tough.
I have Allen Robinson back, so hopefully Blake Bortles shows up against a horrible Chicago defense.
Exactly. And Calvin Benjamin, where are you at?
Yeah, where? Oh, my gosh. I hope Cam comes back and is the Cam that we know. Because they always project Calvin Benjamin for so much, and it never works out. It never works out that way.
If Cam comes back, I might start him against New Orleans, low-key.
I mean, New Orleans is not a good defensive team.
Exactly.
But, yeah, those are the looks for that league. And then coming up for this upcoming week in my ESPN league, it's also not looking too hot because in this league I also have Jameis Winston. So I'm going to have – and I have Ryan Tannehill as well in this league too.
Oh, man.
So I really wanted to get both teams similar so that I don't have to worry about the conflicting –
That's what players. I should have done because I have Martellus Bennett on my ESPN league, and I hope he goes off.
I'm going to start Hunter Henry.
Hey, that's a solid pickup, actually.
I really like Hunter Henry.
Yeah, he gets a lot of looks.
They're talking about Jordan Howard, the Chicago Bears the Chicago Bears running back, is a top-tier running back at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm playing him against this week in my ESPN league. He's projected to get 24 points against the Jacksonville defense.
That's absurd.
24 points.
This man's barely made a name for himself.
He had one good game.
He had two. I'll give him the game in Detroit. He's progressively gotten more and more points each week.
In my ESPN league, a running back that I really like is Ryan Matthews, going against Washington's defense that allows the most rushing yards in the league. And I got him starting at my flex.
That's a good look.
Yeah, so
I think he could produce well there.
Mm-hmm. And then CJ Anderson again going against San Diego for the Broncos this Thursday. And I got Terrence West going against the Giants.
Terrence West against the Giants. That defense is, I don't know, they're hit and miss. They really are. And I think that sometimes the Giants defense can show up when Jason Pierre-Paul, when he wants to actually play, I think that defense could be dangerous. But if he doesn't show up, I mean, he could run all over.
What do you think about Powell of the Jets?
I like him. I picked him up, actually, in our Dynasty League.
Yeah, because I cut him. And he's
projected.
Did you? Yeah, I cut him to get CJ Spiller.
That's not a bad pickup because I cut CJ Spiller.
We could have made a trade. We could have made a trade.
Wow, what are the odds? But yeah, I cut CJ Spiller and I'm... Wow, that's crazy.
What a small world.
What a small... Right? But yeah, I like Bilal Powell because I have him on my bench. And
same.
I think I might start him this week because I don't have a lot of...
Against Arizona.
...running backs. The Arizona D, though.
I was thinking it's either Terrence West or Powell. And I'm kind of debating, and I might just stick with Terrence West because he's actually been solid for me.
I think that you have a better bet with Terrence West, but I think that there's more upside to Bilal Powell.
Yeah. I mean, Terrence West has got 17 points against Oakland 2 weeks ago, and then he had 11 points against Washington. And he's projected to get 8, but I expect him to get more, maybe get a couple, maybe a touchdown or two. I need a lot.
Here's one for you. Travis Benjamin, Michael Crabtree, or Eddie Royal?
Crabtree.
Or Michael Floyd against the Jets?
Nah, Crabtree. I think Crabtree's the man because he gets the majority of the touchdowns from Derek Carr. Amari Cooper only has one.
And against the Kansas City D, I think that there could be magic there.
Yeah, and in Kansas City, they only have one good corner, Marcus Peters, and he's probably going to guard Amari Cooper. So Crabtree's going to be getting those one-on-ones in the red zone, especially, and Carr likes to throw those fades.
Do I start Joe? Do I pick up Joe Flacco?
That's actually, I think that's a solid pickup. That's better than Tannehill. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. I really trusted Tannehill.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. Go with Tannehill.
What about Brock Osweiler?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. I don't know. Alex Smith against Oakland? Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a good look, actually.
Jeremy Maclin, could there be?
Yo, Jeremy Maclin comes back for me this week, and shout out to Jeremy Maclin. You better show up today, all right? Because, like Kelvin Benjamin, he gets projected for, like, 17 points a game, and he ends up with, like, two. And I'm just like, I don't get it.
Be accurate.
Where do you get these projections from? ESPN, Flicker.
Yeah, right.
I'm putting you on blast. Where do you get these projections from? Hit me up.
Yeah.
Radio.dominican.edu.
Flea Flicker needs to get their projections better.
Well, I just don't get where they get these projections from. And I'm a big projections guy.
I really am. And Kevin said projections don't mean anything, which is probably the truest thing I've ever heard.
That's why he's in first place and I'm 0-5. That's probably why.
Is he in first place right now?
No, I think it was Figgins. Figgins was in first right
it
now.
It is. Figgins, our division is way more tough than the other, than Division One.
Yeah.
Our division has Figgins at 4-1, the Kung Su Panda at 4-1, and then me at 3-2. And then their first place, their top three are all at 3-2. So I don't know who organized these leagues, but also this team, Kung Su Panda, is on a 4-game win streak. That's pretty impressive.
I'm going against the second worst team, Greg's team. And hopefully I pull out the victory. But it's just not looking good right now.
Your points four is just atrocious.
It's really bad.
It's not a lot.
I average 89 points a game. Everyone else is in the hundreds.
Everybody else is in the hundreds. You're not even in the 90s.
It's been a horrible year.
But the cool thing about Dynasty and the thing that I love is that we have this and it's always going to be there. So you don't really need to worry about this year.
This is season one.
It really is. And I don't know if it's time, but maybe it's time to start trading some players away and building for the future.
I need anything. Please.
You're just looking at me just laughing. I know my team's horrible. But like Leonard Fournette, Lamar Jackson, I mean, there's some good up-and-coming players. Who's the biggest player for SC right now? Probably USC, Juju Smith-Schuster,
yeah.
He's probably number one.
But I don't know. Wide receivers from USC have been kind of like...
Yeah, like Marquise Lee.
Robert Woods. I mean, they're solid like flex guys. They're solid like, you know, slot receivers. But they're not like the main guy.
Yeah, there's no wide receiver ones coming out of...
And there was like a big NFL scout that just like shredded Juju Smith-Schuster, saying that he's the most overrated prospect ever in history of football. And I was
that's
like
big words.
Wow. I was like, man. You know who's getting a lot of attention though in college football is Bryce Bobo from Colorado, the wide receiver.
I have not even heard of this
name. Yeah. I only know him cuz I used to play basketball mm-hmm. with him, but he's been solid. He's been in the national spotlight a lot more this season, so.
And this is something that we could also start looking into now because it is a lot more prominent for us going forward with our dynasty league because we're gonna be drafting these guys,
right?
So I mean, might as well take an interest.
Crazy.
So we have minimal time left, about 8 minutes, and guess what game just went final?
The Dodger game.
And what happened? Wearing your Dodgers t-shirt, showing your support.
We won 6-5. Thank God.
How did the final run go in?
Utley had a man on first and second with two outs and he got a single, and they had Andrew Tolles, who's a speedster, on second mm-hmm. and he scored. So thank God, because We were up 5-2. Then they pulled Kershaw, and they had bases loaded, two out, seventh inning. And the Nationals just Daniel Murphy killing us.
Yeah, really, though. Because
Jason Worth was up to bat, but Baez hit him, so it was 5-3. And then Daniel Murphy just came up and got a single and scored two runs. But we're going to Game 5 in Washington on Thursday.
The one that matters.
And they said they're going to throw a Rich Hill on short rest, so.
Fingers crossed, right?
Fingers crossed. I mean, he was pitching good in Game 2, but.
My prediction is still sitting nice. I mean, I still think Cubs-Dodgers are going to be there, and then it's going to be Cleveland Indians. It's going to be Indians, Cubs, or Dodgers in the World Series, and the NL team's taking it home.
The Indians swept Boston.
Like, they really went through them like a AAA team.
Oh, my. And, hey, shout out, good career for David Ortiz. I just want to show my appreciation.
Really, though.
I'm going to kind of miss him low-key.
Because, I watched him 03, 04. I watched them break the curse. Reverse
against
the curse.
Against the Yankees. 3-0.
Came back 3-0. Then wins the World Series.
How'd your dad feel about that?
It was a heartbreaking year. We don't talk about it. It goes from 03 to 05 in our October year.
Oh.
But it was still awesome to experience something like that. To even be able to be old enough to remember that.
I do. I remember that.
Yeah, same.
I remember mom sitting down and said, "You're about to watch history right now." And I was like, wow. I didn't really feel like the significance of the moment until like now.
It really hits you. It really hits home.
It really does.
All right. I think that is going to wrap it up for here. Out Ball is Life. Radio.dominican.edu. DJ Smooth, it's always a pleasure. DJ Radical here.
Yeah. Good luck all to you fantasy owners out there. I know it's, even if your team's 0-5, I'm having a good time. It's fun talking about it. It's fun, like, looking into it, doing research, and, like, making transactions. So just, you know, have fun with it. I know it gets upsetting on Sundays, and you start, like, cursing and everything and start throwing stuff. I know I do. I get in a fight with, like, my mom when she's on the phone. She's like, "Why are you screaming? You're supposed to be talking to me." Or, like, my girlfriend's in the room. Like, "Why are you yelling?" And you're like, "No, why I'm yelling? You're 5-0 for no reason. I'm here struggling to make playoffs. Struggling to get a win." But, yeah, you know, it's fun.
It is. It really is. And that's the point of it. So go have fun, guys. We'll see you guys next time. Ball is Life. Radio.dominican.edu.